Have you ran into El Porco since he recorded with us?
I've talked to him on the phone a couple of times, yeah.
How's he handling the fame?
Not too well. He tries to be inconspicuous about it. The next time he's on the show, he's got a new job now he can talk about. He's now part-time a pizza delivery boy. He drives a Hyundai Sonata, 2009. That's a good model, good year. And he makes some pretty decent cash at the end of like a 4 to 6 hour shift.
In Berea?
No, in Cherrydale. Just as trashy, but there's more money there, apparently. You also get the downtown district well, so if anyone's having an office party where we're not going to give raises, but we're going to thank our employees, and they want pizza, it's probably going to be calling up Ben.
I do mean this sincerely. I wish we could have A.B. McGee back on, but he couldn't handle the fame.
Somber Meadows by Robert. That was beautiful. Love that. I think John Williams originally composed it. Of course, that was taken from the 1984 Academy Award-winning film Amadeus, Mozart's fifth, because the other four he fucked up on. Yeah. How you doing, everybody? It's Robin Todd. You know, kids have like two rooms now. There's a bedroom and then like a playroom. You get what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Like a video game room. Kind of like a man cave, but if the man was like 12 years old.
I mean, that's not a bad thing.
I can't believe it's so commonplace. Like, dude, well, you've seen the bedroom I grew up in. You remember that? It was the smallest bedroom in a house that was built in the 70s that was somehow notorious for small bedrooms and bathrooms back then. I slept on a twin bed. That's not a lie.
Yeah, you had it packed in pretty tight, too, with, like, your VHS collection and stuff. Yeah. I think a playroom's fine. I think it's fine if you have an extra room.
Yeah, yeah. I just can't believe that's kind of commonplace now for kids growing up. It's like, wow. At least it's a place for all their stuff. It's just, I'm kind of butthurt I didn't have one. I was pretty self-contained in my little bomb shelter of a bedroom. Yeah, it's all right.
Wells Fargo today says that people's savings accounts just aren't keeping up with inflation. You think? Wages aren't keeping up with inflation. They don't have any money to put into the savings account. Their credit card debt's at an all-time high.
They're spending it all on their mortgages and their car payments, which are at an all-time high since COVID. I guess. I mean, I don't know. They could have some drug problems, too.
Inflation's been outpacing income since when?
God, well, it accelerated with COVID, but really, every 10 or 15 years, there's a big jump.
But it's on a fever pitch now.
Well, it's one of these things that's also the domino effect from COVID, too. Like, the housing market wouldn't be the way it is now if it weren't for COVID. Same thing with the car market and stuff like that. Food prices, like with eggs, totally unrelated. That's just kind of a perfect storm of destroying the supply chain. Now you're paying, like, what, $4 for eggs now?
I haven't bought any, but I hear a lot about it. They're actually price gouging those things.
Well, they always do.
Yeah, when they run out, like literally on the fly, the prices are going up. That's what I heard.
Well, Kroger during COVID was found guilty of artificially inflating the prices of milk and eggs. You know, and it's like they were like, what, number two as far as the biggest grocery store chain nationwide? Maybe number one? I don't know, but... It's like, that's kind of a big deal. Not enough people made a big deal about.
Back in the day when they were filming Napoleon Dynamite in Staunton at the chicken farm.
I remember that.
That was a better time.
Well, at the same time, I think we had our problems back then. It's just they seem so distant than the ones we have today. Back then, it was all about the Iraq war and going to war.
So what changes? Because we're headed towards an AI future. I mean... Robot's taking my order at Wendy's now. And next thing you know, they'll be extending a little arm out and dropping the bag in my car. Like,
well, if you want to be a fast food worker the rest of your life, your days are numbered. That's what that tells me.
How about accountants? Can it wipe them just about off the board?
To a degree, maybe. You know, that's what people thought of the calculator. But there's a lot of gray area there that I don't know if AI can make up for, especially when you're cooking the books. You never thought about that. We're cooking our books with our expensive-ass eggs.
Well, if it's not universal basic income, then the imbalance has to change. So how does society fight back? How does the average wage go up?
Well, I like the idea of universal basic income. I just don't think we've gotten to that point yet, thankfully. But there will be a time. I don't think it'll be in our lifetime, but maybe when we're seniors.
It still has to be a group effort, though, now. A union or something that looks like a union.
It's called leverage, and the middle class has it.
Maybe one that spans multi-industry. Like, instead of just within the company or just auto workers, something that's like, hey, we're a big-ass group of people that's in a union. Like, the big union.
Yeah, might be called. Fast food workers of America. There you go. We're against the robots. I mean, no, for real, because, like, fast food workers...
It could come out of nowhere.
Yeah. Well, I mean, fast food workers, there's a lot of them, and, I mean, just taking them out of the equation of the workforce, I mean, that would take, coast to coast, the unemployment rate up several percentage points, easily. Maybe then it would be a time to talk about some sort of basic income.
Yeah, and it's like, well, you shouldn't aspire to work fast food all your life anyway, so what does it matter? What matters is those people do need a job.
Well, no, people need a job, and sometimes in life you take a stepping stone. So, yeah, without a stepping stone, it's hard to get a good foothold if you ever, I don't know, fall down in life, God forbid. It's usually not most people's game plan.
Computer science, programming, cybersecurity, things like that. That was such a big, that was such a hot industry to get into 10 years ago, 15 years ago. But you'd be shooting yourself in the foot if you went to college for it and tried to get into a program now, because you're like going to be replaced by the computer. A lot of industries are just going to fall, I feel like.
It's kind of like the way of the Blockbuster. People decided going to a store for a movie was just too much work. Technology made it a lot more convenient. And I'll tell you the truth, a lot of jobs will just be streamlined or replaced by technology making things more convenient.
Another issue isn't the technology, but just the leverage. I think you mentioned this a second ago, but
yeah. It
seems that the more and more the CEO, the board members, have leverage, they're using it in a greedy fashion.
Who would have thought that?
Making their record profits.
With no oversight, they do something wrong. I wonder what could represent a big body of people, especially something like a workforce, for an entire nation that would go against people taking advantage of said nation. Well, until we come up with that answer, I don't know. But I do like the idea of something like a union. If not, maybe a federal minimum wage that's a percentage of the cost of living state to state.
So it's federal, but it's still on a sliding scale?
Well, it's a federal formula, but you apply it to a state's cost of living and revenue for the average, you know, the median income. This is how I think federal and state governments can get along, because it really would be up to the government, the governor, and their legislature.
The median and average incomes aren't near what you think. Ask Google to take out the top 1,000 earners or the top 2,000 earners and then get you the average.
Yeah.
And see just how low it is.
Well, maybe that should be part of the federal formula then.
We beat a dead horse about it, but it's like mental health is about to tip over the fucking cliff.
Well, have it like
if something doesn't change.
Yeah, the top and the very top, very bottom, then you take an average. That way the very bottom is not weighing it down. It's kind of one of these things where...
Well, yeah, take the top and the bottom out. Yeah, I'd be interested. Yeah. I posted about taking the top out on, I guess, our Instagram, but yeah, I'd take the bottom out too.
Yeah, because you got to have something that's a buffer of like, okay, we don't want people just trying to take advantage of this. I don't know, I feel like...
There's probably a whole lot of people claiming $100 of income on a year, though. Like, I don't think taking out the bottom is really going to swing it too much.
No. I just think of like, you know, you chop it up and just look at the middle, and that's where you get like your numbers from. And you can always, you know, it's not necessarily set in stone. It's something that's always should be sliding, because given the economy and the way money is slowly reduced in value, yeah, it's going to be sliding faster now more than ever.
I guess the reason I brought it up, I had two different people this week talking to me about it again. Like, a lot of people have brought this up with me that...
You need to get out and meet some more people, man. They talk about too many depressing things.
that they need a change.
Yeah.
And it's really based on their careers not going where it needs to. They're just stressed out. And I think so many people are walking around stressed the fuck out because they worked really hard with their best efforts and it just isn't paying off the way it should. And damn.
I'm just happy I didn't have a kid unplanned sometime in my 20s, because that seems like that would make the stress you're talking about so much more compounded. You know, it's like, not only can I make enough money, I can't make enough money for this kid I didn't necessarily financially prepare for.
And if you do support the kid, throw your dreams straight out the window.
Well,
and I don't mean lofty ambitions, because, like I say, just coming up with the bare minimum is kind of tough now.
Well, hopefully your dream is to be a good dad, but you know, just you get it's not just about you anymore, or at least it shouldn't be.
You're not even assuming mom's in the picture, are you? Not
well,
in today's
I mean,
day and age.
You know. There's a range, I guess, and same thing with the dads, I suppose. I'm just talking about, like, I'm just glad for me I didn't wind up with a kid at, like, 29, 30 years old, and now here I am, 41, hoping I can keep up with all this inflation. But, yeah, you bring up a good point.
Staunton Newsroom weather. It's cold. It's really cold. Todd?
Still cold. Cold as hell. The wind blows. And I mean that literally.
We got a green room. And we have a Super Nintendo in our green room, and we got Mortal Kombat 2, and it's pretty dope. I like being Baraka. I know a couple of fatalities, too, now.
With Baraka, specifically?
No, his are actually kind of hard, but like Sub-Zero and shit. I like Sub-Zero, too.
I like Liu Kang.
Overrated. I mean, it's cool and stuff, but like his special moves aren't that special. I do like his fatalities though in Mortal Kombat 2. Like he turns into the dragon and bites a dude's head off. That's pretty cool.